are stirred. Alleluia, Lord, we sing of the good news that you bring.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, and you've lived through stewardship campaigns, then this gospel text, and knowing its commitment Sunday, you probably could write the sermon, right? It's a bit of a softball. A reminder that all that exists is God's. Sun, moon, stars, your life, the wood that frames your house, the silicone in your computers, the oil that becomes the plastics in your home, the skill with your hands, the smarts of your brain, all this comes ultimately from God. Jesus says, "Give back to God that which is God's, which is everything." Some of you may remember this, but when I was growing up, the standard offertory prayer we used was this: "We offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord." So can't you hear the conclusion of this particular sermon coming with about as much subtlety as a Hallmark Christmas movie? So, your financial commitments for 2024 are offered up freely, acknowledging that it all belongs to God anyway. A way of orienting ourselves in right relationship with God and our money, even as we support the mission and ministry of the church. Could preach that, but I'm not going to go there. Here's the simple truth. Pragmatically, we need your generosity to fund the mission and ministry of St. John Lutheran Church. We have no other sources of income. Your generosity towards our mission and ministry will determine what that mission and ministry will look like. Now, I do believe that our stewardship, the stewardship of the resources God has given us of finances and skills, including how we give to the mission and ministry of the church, I do believe that that is a spiritual practice. That it is an important way to deepen our faith towards God and love for one another. It's a discipline I have engaged in all of my adult life and how I was raised, and I find it helpful. Lastly, and most importantly, what you give or don't give to the mission and ministry of St. John will never change the absolute love that God has for you. That love for you is the same whether you give everything or nothing. Your participation in the stewardship campaign or a capital campaign will not save you. Jesus does that, period. So now with all of that stuff out of the way, here's the sermon. Jesus asked the gathered Pharisees and Herodians, whose head is on the coin? Now, the language used in the Greek is the exact same word that God uses for human beings created in God's image in Genesis. And so Jesus might well be saying, instead of whose head, whose image is this and whose title? So if the coin has Caesar's head and title on it, well, it must belong to him. It's kind of like your parents, when they send you off to camp, they label everything, right? So that folks know it belongs to you. Now, left unsaid, but certainly something that the disciples would have been hearing in their minds as they're listening to Jesus is that reminder from Genesis 1:27 that all human beings are made in God's image. They would have made that connection. And internally, they would have been proclaiming to themselves, well, God's image is upon us, so we must belong to God. Now, Jesus doesn't outright answer the question of the Pharisees and the Herodians because he knows it's a political trap to get him in trouble either with the Roman authorities or with the Jewish crowd. Instead, he reorients everybody's thinking. He reframes the question to help people discover their own answer, the answer that is obvious. Just think about it. You're made in the image of God. Just like the coin. It doesn't mean that we are God, right? The coin is not Caesar. But there is something in us, about us, all of us, that makes us unlike anything else in the rest of creation. Perhaps it is the ability that we have to create wonderful and astonishing things. Perhaps it's the cognitive power we have, greater than any other creature, one that can begin to decipher the ways in which God has put this world together. Either way, we have been imbued with great power and privilege and responsibility by God. Also, this God whose image we bear is the one who has created us, who gifted us with all that is unique and wonderful about us. Our hair color, the shape of our nose, the ability to snap our fingers, to craft a quilt, our head for numbers or a well-turned phrase. All this is given to you by God, and in combinations that are unique to each of you. There is nobody else in the world who has that same combination of things. And that combination, when put together with other uniquely created in the image of God human beings into a community of believers, makes for a church that can do amazing things in the world that show forth the reign of God. Friends, fellow human beings created in the image of God, I give thanks to God for all of you, remembering before God your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope as you sew together scraps of cloth into a quilt that will be someone's only shelter as they have been wrenched from home by war or disease or famine. As you surround one another in times of sickness and death, as you care for family and friends, as you assemble to provide faith formation for our children, music for our souls during worship, food in our bellies for fellowship. I give thanks to God for all of you in your diverse and unique, made in the image of Godness. Because I know, siblings in Christ, beloved by God, that God has chosen you, each of you, through the waters of baptism from which God lifts us clean and pure, made anew, chosen you through the love of God in Jesus Christ, called you with the power of the Holy Spirit, assembled together to be the very hands and feet of Christ in the world. Here, in Ely, and in Solon, and Cedar Rapids, and Mount Vernon, the hands and feet of Christ at work and at school, at home and when you are away. And when we can see these truths, that we bear the image of God, that we are gifted and loved, that every other human being in the world also bears that image of God, when we become imitators of the one whose name that we bear, when we honor the name of Christian, then that Holy Spirit of God will act in and through us to help people to be able to see. To see how we have turned from the idols of this world and serve a living and true God. Not one of our own making, but one who has made us. A God worthy of devotion. And they'll desire that for themselves. When they see us just be who we are, they will desire that for themselves. They won't be able to help it. Because the Holy Spirit will work in and through our every word and action to call them into being more fully who they are. Created in the image of God. Beloved by God. And when we see these truths, when we reorient ourselves to God and to others, when we see that and are reoriented, how then can we do awful, harmful, deadly things to other human beings who are created in the image of God, beloved by God? And when they do awful, horrible things to me, how do I respond in a way that honors the image of God that I know resides in both them and me? When we see these truths, other human beings become not adversaries over and against us, but others wonderfully made in the image of God who we seek to work with, to open their eyes when they have been blinded. Friends in Christ, God loves you. Period. In all your messiness and imperfections, God loves you. Without reserve, you are chosen by God, named beloved, wonderfully gifted, deserving of love and respect by yourself and others. God declares this, and God's opinion really is the only one that matters. Together, with God's help, we can do all things. Wonderful, healing, life-giving, amazing things. Because each of you is a vital part of the body of Christ that is St. John. And each person who walks through these doors is a missing piece of that wonderful puzzle. Brings with them gifts and abilities, insights and visions that we didn't even know we were missing. That's why I'm always curious about those who come through the doors. What are they bringing? Now, in the middle of times that can be confusing and sometimes even harrowing, with those around us who seem only out to kind of trap us in what we say, let's take our cue from Jesus, keep the main thing the main thing. To remember whose we are and in whose image we are made. To love God with all that we are, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to trust in God's grace and mercy when we fall short of that. Because we will. And when we do that, and when we work together, when we trust in God, the rest will take care of itself. And for that, I say, thanks be to God.